translation, as all surrender unto me, Lord. I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritab. Purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects, of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading super soul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and there and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them who are not firmly situated even in the impersonal existence return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yagyeshwar. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udardhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. This is a well-known verse, at least among the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse, especially the first two lines, often. Now, this has to be understood very carefully, like all the teachings of Shastra, because it's quite possible to misunderstand it, and by misunderstanding, then we don't get the result of understanding. The result of understanding and the result of misunderstanding is different. There's an example of that narrated in the Upanishads, when it's described how both Indradev, the king of the Devas, and Virochana, the king of the Asuras, approached Brahma
for Atma Gyan. So first of all, Brahma, he explained the Atma is, Atma means body. So you are the body and you enjoy the body, and this is Atma Gyan. So Virochan said, that's very good, I understand that very clearly. Thank you very much. And he went off. And then Brahma instructed Indra in Atma Gyan. Actual Atma Gyan. Atma does mean body, but there are higher levels of Atma Gyan, which Virochana, he wasn't fit for understanding actually. So those who are not fit for understanding, better they shouldn't hear. They'll make a mess out of it. They'll misinterpret and malinterpret, and this is what's going on. That's why we see Prabhupada has given Bhagavad Gita as it is. I always wondered why Prabhupada put Bhagavad Gita as it is, and when I read it, then I understood that this is Bhagavad Gita as it is, and all other editions, they are presenting Bhagavad Gita, not Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, not according to Krishna, but then it's not Bhagavad Gita, then it's the Swami Kalpana Ananda, his interpretation or something. It's not what Krishna says, what someone else says. So what is Krishna saying here? We can interpret it, and then if we interpret it in our own way, then we will surely get the result. Yeyata mam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajami aham. We'll get the result of deliberately misunderstanding what Krishna says is, well, there are many results, but the four principal results are janma, mrityu, jara, and vyadhi, dukkha. So the result is that aprapyama nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. We don't come to Krishna. We don't get the result of hearing from Krishna faithfully. Shodadhana purushadharmasyasya paranta. We don't get the, if we don't have faith. Faith means to hear and understand. If we don't have that faith, if we don't have faith in Krishna, then we will hear what Krishna says, but we will reinterpret it in our own way to take out a different message to what Krishna says. That's why we find there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, and none of them except Bhagavad Gita as it is. People are not getting the result of Bhagavad Gita. It's because Krishna is saying one thing and we are hearing something else. We are hearing what we want to hear instead of hearing what is beneficial for us. We have to hear what Krishna says. It's just like if you two patients go to the doctor, and to one the doctor says, well, you just take these pills and you'll be alright. And to the other one he says, you have to stop eating this and eating that, and you have to do this exercise and that exercise and take this bitter medicine. Why don't you give me the same treatment as the other person? You have a different disease. So we cannot dictate to the doctor. We have to take the doctor's instruction as he says. Then we can be cured. So if we think that, well, Krishna says this, but I'll interpret it in another way, then that is rascaldom. That means we are not interested in listening to Krishna. We're just making a show of listening to Krishna. So what is Krishna saying here? It seems like a very straightforward thing, but the implication is very heavy. Krishna says that I reciprocate with others according to the way they approach me. Now, generally, we don't think of God like that. We have our own idea of God. We have our God idea. God is like this. We don't learn from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Who is God? What is the nature of God? But we like to imagine God as some kind of energy out there somewhere that I can plug into from time to time when I need some kind of boost. So God is someone who helps me to enjoy my material life. And then we become upset. Why tsunami? Where was God? Why didn't God look after us and protect us? Because we think he's there to serve us. Why tsunami? Why not? Why not more? We're doing so many sinful activities. And we think that God should be an accomplice in our crime. That he should give us blessing so that we can go on with our sinful life. But here Krishna says that I reciprocate accordingly. At least previously in India, people had the consciousness that if something bad happens to me, that that's because of me. That's something I did previously wrong. So now I'm getting the result. And that is the fact. Purusha sukha dukhanam bhoktritve hetu ruchate. We are the cause of our own happiness and distress in this material world. It's not when anything good happens to us or we do anything, we think, oh yes, I'm very good. And when something goes wrong, we say it's God's fault. So this kind of attitude means that we are not endeavoring to understand Krishna as he is, which is in our self-interest. We don't know what is our self-interest. Nate vidu swartha gatin hi Vishnu. We think our self-interest is to worship Vishnu so that he can benefit us. Just like Satyanarayan puja. That Narayan, he's all powerful, so I'll do some Satyanarayan puja and he will give me some good result. And if I don't get it, I'll call him Mithya Narayana and give up all this puja. What is the use? Then I'll become a communist or an atheist. Something like this. So Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita for our actual welfare. But the first thing we should understand if we're to hear from Krishna is that what we think is for our benefit may not be what we think it is. That was exactly the case with Arjuna. He was thinking it is good not to fight. And Krishna explained to him that just the opposite of what he thought is dharmic is actually dharmic. What Arjuna thought is very good, I shall be very good, I won't fight, I'll be liberal, I'll be merciful. And Krishna told, that's not liberal, that's not merciful, that's simply your wrong idea based on a misunderstanding. So the first thing, if we're actually to approach Bhagavad Gita, if we are to understand Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna understood it, the first thing we have to understand is that what we think may be right is not necessarily so, and probably isn't, because we're in more illusion than Arjuna. We're very deeply in illusion. Arjuna was only temporarily in illusion. But we have been in... Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord, but we have been in the illusion of thinking that Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I am a separate controller from Krishna, I am an enjoyer. We've been in this illusion since time immemorial. Our misunderstanding is extremely deep. So to understand Bhagavad Gita, first of all, we should understand that whatever hogwash we have heard throughout our lives and throughout millions of lives is exactly that. Hogwash. You know that word, hogwash? It means, it's not much used in modern English. Prabhupada used to use it. It means nonsense. More or less it means nonsense. So all the ideas that we have learned, that so many, just like we have to get ahead, we have to get a good job, and we have to be forward in society and show how prominent we are, and we have to enjoy ourselves and all this, all rubbish. We have to serve Krishna. And maybe you'll have a so-called good job, and maybe not. That doesn't matter actually. In terms of eternity, it doesn't matter at all. Not in the slightest bit. We're in this body for a short time. We have the opportunity in the human form of life to understand Krishna, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. That is our real need, what we need to do. But we're so busy trying to make ourselves a prestigious fool. Everyone in this material world is foolish, but we want to be more prestigious among the fools. But an actually intelligent person realizes that this entanglement in material life, it is foolish. It is foolish to do anything else but that which is in our self-interest. People are fools, people are smoking. On the packet it says, smoking will kill you. Okay, give me another packet. People are fools. Even they think they're the body and they don't even act in the interest of the body. So our tendency in material life is to be foolish. But Krishna is giving the instruction by which we can come out of foolishness. Foolishness means not to be Krishna conscious, because the only welfare activity for the soul is to be Krishna conscious. All other welfare activities, Mother Teresa's and Red Cross and Red Crescent, and it's all cheating. It's not welfare activities, it's anti-welfare, because it increases the illusion of thinking that we are in this body and we should live comfortably in this material world and we are helping others to live comfortably. So we are doing actual welfare work. That's not welfare work. It's increased. Moha janamaya. It's increasing the illusion. So to understand Bhagavad Gita requires hearing Krishna. That's why Krishna tells Arjuna, listen carefully. Maya saktam raf partha yogam yunjal madashaya. Asamshayam samagram mam yata gyasisi tat trinu. Krishna tells Arjuna's already listening. He's listening, but Krishna is telling, listen carefully what I have to say. It may not be what you expect to hear. So listen, being attached to me, have faith in me. Then all your doubts will be clear. We have to hear from Krishna. Nowadays these so-called spiritual societies, they have discussion groups and everyone gives their different opinion. What is the use of a bunch of fools give their opinion? What is the use? We have to hear from Krishna and his representatives. What is spiritual knowledge? That is why the process of hearing is there. What is, why we have to hear? You have to hear from Krishna. Vidyate hridaya granthis. Chidyante sarva samshayaha. We have to, all the illusions in the heart. I am this body, I am meant to enjoy in this material world. We believe in God, we are very pious. God is up there, He's blessing us. So we can enjoy material life. All these atheistic or semi-theistic or pseudo-theistic ideas have to be cut by hearing the actual fact, which we don't like to hear, that we are servants. We are meant to serve. We are meant to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. We don't like to hear, but when we can accept to hear that, then we can actually be happy. It's for our own self-interest. But due to hearing asat kata, tidings of this material world, since time immemorial, we think that even so-called religion that is meant for our sense gratification. Just like we hire a maid, we give our clothes to the dhobi, and we have a driver to drive our car, and God, He's also our servant. Maybe put Him in the garden. Hey, come here. And then do a puja, you give me blessing, then visarjan. Send him away again. Okay, see you next year. Don't bother us in the meantime. You give us your blessings and now you go away. So then we get the result. Yayatamam prabhadyante tams tathayva bhajami aham. We get the result of repeated birth and death. People generally think that dharmasya hi pavargasya.
Dharma is meant for apavarga. Dharma is meant for getting free from material life. But generally people think that dharma is also meant for sense gratification. And so many times people, they take to Krishna consciousness and then their friends say, well, what's the use? You see, you have more financial problems and your business isn't expanding. So what's the use? You come to Sai Baba Bhajan, better. And they're convinced that Krishna consciousness is completely useless because your business didn't expand. Because foolish frog in the well, the frog thinks I'm jumping around in this mud, so if there's a god, he'll make some nicer mud for me to jump on. Frog in the well. He doesn't know his real self-interest is to come out of the well, to come out of the mud. God is providing more insects for me to eat. So God is very nice. We believe in God. God is the greatest frog, and he sends us lots of insects to eat. This is the frog's understand. This is the frog's theology. So we have froggish philosophy. I'm in this material world, I'm here to enjoy, and God is somewhere out there, maybe, and if he is, we'll do some puja and he'll send me more insects or more chapatis or whatever. Frog idea. So Krishna is teaching how to see reality as it is. We have frog vision. We see this is the well, this is the mud, these are the insects, and we're jumping around and I'm a great frog, I'm the best frog, I'm the most prestigious frog. But Krishna consciousness means to understand Krishna, to see everything. Krishna sees everything. Krishna's vision is not restricted. Devotee sees things actually as they are. He doesn't see, I am this body, that person is that body. He understands we're all not these bodies, we're all eternal servants of Krishna. We're only here temporarily, just short time. We don't even know how long. We're making plans, retirement plan. But what's the guarantee that you're going to be able to retire? We may have an early retirement without our own decision. Quite possible. We are retired from all our activity by the hand of fate, time. When our time is up, then there's no more time left. So whatever it is, we don't have much time. So in this human form of life, instead of making ourselves into sophisticated frogs, we should take to the process of Krishna consciousness, understanding that what is our actual necessity to get free from birth and death, to get out of the suffering of material existence and go to Krishna. This is our real need. We can go to Krishna if we want to go to Krishna. But we have to develop the desire to go to Krishna by associating with those who are able to take us to Krishna. Otherwise, so many people may be doing Krishna seva, but that's not seva. If they're expecting something back, if we're expecting any material benefit from Krishna, then that is not seva, that is business. If we're wanting to get something back. Therefore, bhakti, people say bhakti, yes, yes, we're doing bhakti, but bhakti means anyabhilashita shunya, to be free of any desire but to do bhakti. Bhakti is not a part-time occupation. But bhakti is the atma dharma, that is the actual function of the soul. So and if we think I will do some bhakti and some karma also, that means that's not bhakti. Bhakti means to surrender to Krishna. Now, there are various ways by which we can try to reinterpret this. Everyone has their own interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. But interpretation means we won't get Krishna. Now, another interpretation, very common, of bhakti is that it all depends on kripa, which is true, but this is often misinterpreted. Everything just depends on kripa. So we only get guru kripa and then that's all. In Christianity, there's an ongoing debate. The path of faith and the path of works. Some people say, I am bathed in the blood of Jesus. It's a horrible idea, but they think this is... It's a really horrible idea, isn't it? You want to take the blood of Jesus and take a bath in it. But they consider this is the highest level of theology. That's why I say this interfaith, it's nonsense. These people are talking all rubbish. What are you going to talk with them? So, I am bathed in the blood of Jesus means that I just have faith in Jesus. That's all. You just have to say, Jesus, I believe in you. And then that's it. And you can do any nonsense you like, but I believe in Jesus. I am saved. And there are others who say, no, you have to do good works. So Prabhupada said that also. He said that, Christian, why do we have any criticism of that? Because they say they believe in God, they believe in Jesus. But Prabhupada's criticism, then if you say you're a Christian, why don't you do what Jesus said? So that comes up also in the followers of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. The path of faith and the path of works. Marjaranyai and Markatanyai. The Marjaranyai, the cat is, kitten is picked up by the cat. The little kitten has nothing to do. Just the mother is looking after me and that's all. And the monkey, Markatanyai. Now you have to hold on. The monkey is holding on to, the baby monkey is holding on to the mother monkey. So do we hold on or we just, God comes and picks us up? It's a big theological question that split the Ramanuja Sampradaya. So yes, God picks up the kitten, but the cat picks up the kitten, but the cat doesn't pick up the baby monkey. You understand? You have to be a kitten and then the cat will pick you up. So the question of eligibility is there also. We have to... Why does the cat pick up the kitten? Because there's some relationship. So if we don't establish our relationship with Krishna, then why should he give us the mercy? Of course, we know from this verse, he's giving us the mercy. But he will give it according to the way that we want it. If we want God's mercy to become a worm in stool, we will get that. Just like it's very popular nowadays, people like to eat whatever they like and watch pornographic movies and all these things. And they have no idea what is pap, what is punya. They don't believe in God. So they'll also get the mercy of Krishna to become a worm in stool, which is their fitting destination. So everyone gets the mercy. Yes, everything is God's mercy. But how to qualify to get His mercy in the best possible way? It's not that everyone... Another misunderstanding is that, well, everyone goes to God eventually, so there's no real need to try. You just do whatever you're doing and God is very merciful and He will save you. But God is very merciful means He speaks Bhagavad Gita. And then we have to apply that in our lives. Just like so many people come to sannyasis and gurus and say, we want your blessing. So, well, my blessing is that you stop all sinful activities and you surrender to Krishna. You want it? No. They don't want. They want blessing that you're doing bhajan, you're doing tapasya, and you give me your blessing and I won't do all these things, and but just by your blessing I'll get progressed in material life. So be careful. We don't give that kind of blessing. You came to the wrong Swami. By our blessings, your material life may not progress but regress. Then you'll come. Then you should come and say, "What went wrong?" And say, "Nothing went wrong. It went very well, very good. I'm very pleased to hear. Your material life, you're having so many problems. Now do you understand? You should surrender to Krishna. Do what he wants. Otherwise, you have to suffer not only now but birth after birth after birth." So Krishna's mercy is there, but we have to do what is required to get Krishna's mercy. Now another misunderstanding of that, which is prominent in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, or the retrograde versions of the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is that, well, you just chant Hare Krishna, and that's all you have to do. And Guru Kripa, that's all you need. That's it, because Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, 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 Gati Aranyata. So you just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. That's what it says, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. That is again a misunderstanding. That means that the path of chanting the holy names, that means Namatmaka bhakti, bhakti that is constituted of chanting the holy names, that is the only way to attain Krishna in Kali Yuga. But that doesn't mean that we can chant Hare Krishna and not follow any regulations of Shastra. That is a misunderstanding. And it doesn't mean that we just chant Hare Krishna and that we don't make any other endeavor. Here we see in this purport, in the purport to the previous verse, Prabhupada has quoted from Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, the chief follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not called Chaitanyanugas, they're called Rupanugas. Because Rupa Goswami gave the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how to progress in bhakti? Ado shadha tata sadhu sangha atha bhajana kriya tato nata nivritti sat tato ruchis tato nishta ruchis tata. There's a system of progress beginning with faith in bhakti, then bhajana kriya. So in bhajan, in the activities of devotional service, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, Krishna naam, chanting the names of Krishna, is most essential, most important. And it's true that if we only chant Hare Krishna, we can attain all perfection, but we don't. We don't. We're not fit, actually, for chanting Hare Krishna. And if we try, we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. 3 times 64 rounds, then he might eat something. We're not fit. We're not on that level of purity. Therefore, we have to support our bhakti, particularly with shravana. Kirtan, there's no kirtan without shravana. Hearing must be there. You must hear regularly as a daily function. What is tatvagyan? Generally we hear this term, tatvagyan, spiritual knowledge. Or in the version of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. What is generally called Tattva Gyan, that more complete definition is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, by attaining which Mukta Sangasya Jayate. We become free from all material attachments. Actually, we cannot chant Hare Krishna. We can only attempt to chant Hare Krishna, but actual chanting means when we're in the position of Mukta Sangha, when we're free from all material attachments. So we can practice chanting Hare Krishna. But actual Naam manifests when we are actually following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nayanam Dalada Shuddhaya Vadanam Gadgada Rudhaya Gira Puru Karinichitam Vapukata Tabanama Grahaneva Vishnu. That is chanting. When we are so much wrapped in love for Krishna, the tears are flowing from our eyes like torrents of rain. So this is actual chanting. So chanting, yes, everyone should chant. But that chanting must be accompanied by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, so that we can understand who is Krishna, who are we, what is our relationship. Simply to imitate being on the highest level, these sahajiyas, prakrita sahajiyas, they imitate the symptoms of high advancement, but they don't hear, that they imitate the platform of prayojan, of the highest level of Krishna praying, but they don't have a clear understanding what is sambandha, what is our relationship with Krishna. So their supposed bhakti, abhideya, is not bhakti. It's cheating. Hearing must be there to understand who is Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna. What does that mean? O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. But if we don't know who is Krishna and what it means to serve him, then we cannot chant Hare Krishna. So Shravan must come first, then Kirtan. And Kirtan must always be accompanied by Shravan. Otherwise, the tendency is we may think, oh, I read Bhagavad Gita. I read it. Who's read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Who's read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Who has read? Please raise your hand. Some. So I read it and put it on the shelf. Otherwise we just put it on the shelf without reading it. We think I've got Bhagavad Gita in my home. Mangal Hoga. But we don't read it. Mangal Hoga Paranas. We have to read it. Then we'll get the benefit. So we may think did we understand Bhagavad Gita? If we understood Bhagavad Gita, then we wouldn't be coming with so many funny ideas in our heads. Then if we understand Bhagavad Gita, then we can say, Nashto Moha Smite Labda Tvat Prasada Mayanchita Stitosmi Gata Sandeha Karishe Vachanam Tava. This is understanding Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna said, now my illusion is dispelled. Now I remember what I'm supposed to do by your mercy, Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy. We say we want Krishna's mercy. What is Krishna's mercy? Tvat prasada maya chuta nashto moho smriti labdha. To be free of illusion, fixed in understanding. Stitosmi gata se, and I'm fixed in understanding. My doubts are all gone. Therefore, karishye vachanam tava. I'm ready to do whatever Krishna wants of us. So, hearing again and again, because otherwise we may think, well, I heard the class and I understand I'm not the body, and I understand, I got my Bhakti Shastri degree, I understood everything. But simply academic understanding is not sufficient. There has to be practiced in our lives by hearing again and again, because from time immemorial we have been hearing, I am this body, I am meant to enjoy this material world. And we go on hearing that. We are in the material atmosphere and we go on hearing that I am this body, I am meant to enjoy. So we have to hear again and again and again. Otherwise, we have to hear from Krishna again and again and again. Otherwise, the illusion that I am the enjoyer will again and again come. Even if we have a Bhakti Shastri degree. We have to take Bhakti Shastri degree every moment of our lives. Then we can be Bhakti Shastri. So hearing again and again, then we can understand what it means to surrender to Krishna. And hearing means to apply in our lives the processes of Krishna consciousness. This sahajir idea that just we'll just get kripa, that's all. We just chant Hare Krishna and then that's it. But so we chant Hare Krishna, but chanting means chanting with what attitude? Putting our hands in our bead bag and mumbling. That won't help us very much. But praying, Ai Nanda Tanajo Kinkarang Patitang Mang Vishame Bhavam Budho Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Dhuli Sadrishan Vichinta. Then we praying to Krishna, place me in the dust of your lotus feet. Take me out of this material existence. That is chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna consciousness is not a mechanical thing that we think that I'll chant and then I'll follow one or two things and then I'll go to Krishna. But Krishna can be attained. The formulas are there, but it's not simply by formulas. But we actually have to develop the desire to attain Krishna. Tasma lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The only price to get Krishna is this strong desire to do so. So we will get the mercy, certainly we shall get the mercy of Krishna, if we cultivate the desire to get it. Otherwise, we are warned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by performing bhakti, it is possible to cultivate, if we cultivate the wrong kind of desire, then the chanting will not take us to Krishna. It may take us to Swargaloka, we may get diverted. If we cultivate Anya Abhilash, other desires than those to surrender to Krishna, then our chanting Hare Krishna, that will not actually be chanting. That will be some kind of punya karma. That real chanting means to pray to Krishna, to take me to you, to make me your servant. But if we're cultivating material desires, then the chanting will take us to Swargaloka. That won't take us to Krishna. So, how much it is required that we have to hear regularly, that our only goal is Krishna. Our only goal is to surrender to Krishna. Krishna consciousness is the only goal of life. It is not the main goal of life. Anyone who says that Krishna consciousness is the main goal of life is not Krishna conscious. It is the only. If we have other goals, then that is Anya Abhilash. Other desires than those to serve Krishna. So we cannot serve Krishna with other desires. Of course we can begin. We have to begin somewhere. So in the beginning we may say, just come, you chant Hare Krishna here and this and that. But come and hear, yes, take prasad, chant, it's very nice, this. But we have to hear about what is the actual goal of life. Otherwise the transformation, the change of heart will not take place. If we only present Krishna consciousness something very nice and that's all. Then people think, very nice, yeah, very nice. Very nice means my bank balance increases and my next door neighbor has a heart attack and this is very nice. So they pray to Durga like that. Dhanam dehi, yasham dehi. What is that? Dvisho jahi. That give me money, give me wealth and kill my enemy. That's there in the prayers to Durga. So people are thinking, this is very nice. But people have misconceptions. So we have to hear to understand what we are doing, why we are doing it. And if one is to be initiated in Krishna consciousness, we say in Krishna consciousness, diksha. That diksha means, yes, you promise to chant 16 rounds and follow four regulated principles. But diksha means divyam jnanam yato dadyat. What's the next line? Purva papasya sankshayam. Diksha means the process of attaining spiritual knowledge by which sins, papa, is destroyed. So how can that papa be destroyed? By knowledge that I am the servant of Krishna. So diksha means, with another word, upanayanam. Diksha, to come close to the guru and hear what he has to say. He may not say that to everyone. How we preach publicly and how we speak to the, how the guru speaks to the disciple, he'll speak more confidentially. Therefore, upanayanam, come close. Come within the vision. Don't run away. Come hear what he has to say. To the public we may say, you just chant Hare Krishna. But those who want to understand who is Krishna, who want to be serious, diksha means serious, then they will have to hear what it means to chant Hare Krishna. How we can actually get Krishna's mercy. So, yes, everything depends on the mercy of Krishna. But the mercy of Krishna is given in the form of his instructions, by following which we will attract the full mercy of Krishna. So we have to be careful not to make Krishna consciousness very cheap. Everything must be based on knowledge. Siddhanta balya chitte na karaha alash. Iha hoite Krishna lage sumiramanosh. How can we be fixed up, our mind very strongly attached to Krishna, by understanding Siddhanta? Who is Krishna? What is our relationship with him? In all details. If we don't understand, or if we don't try to understand what is Siddhanta, then we will not have Sudrida Manash, will not be closely attached to Krishna. Rather, the result will be Siddhanta Alashjan Anartha Nacharena. Anartha Charena. By laziness in the matter of understanding Siddhanta, if we're not interested to hear and understand who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Krishna, then we cannot give up anarthas, because the root anartha, or obstacle in becoming Krishna conscious, is the non-understanding of our position as servants of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we're not opposite of lazy, busy, if we're not busy, determined to understand what is the relationship with Krishna, what is the knowledge in Shastra, then we cannot give up anarthas. We will remain in the polluted consciousness of thinking, I am the enjoyer and God is my partner in crime. He is giving me blessings for enjoying this material life. So, concept, understanding of Krishna consciousness must be firmly based on Bhagavad Gita as it is, on Shastra. Everything we have to understand through Shastra, through the understanding. Even we say God, yeah, I believe in God, but God, what do you mean God? He was saying, I believe in God. What is God? Something out there, somewhere. So they're believing God, what? They say they believe in God, they don't know who is God, they don't want to know. So what is their believing in God? Or I believe in God, some Baba who makes us sigh. So what is that? That's not believing in God. That's atheism in the name of theism. So we have to be careful not to import our material ideas, which will pollute Krishna consciousness. Then it's not Krishna consciousness. Just like nowadays we talk a lot about compassion and caring and empathetic hearing, and that's all right, but that has to be based not on some art of living kind of quasi-spiritualism, but on understanding. Compassion means to instruct others in understanding of their constitutional position. Yeah, someone says, well, they don't understand me. We understand you very well. You're in Maya. You don't understand you. We understand through Bhagavad Gita. You say, we should just understand people as they are. No. Take people as they are. No. As they are means going to hell. So compassion means don't take people as they are. Don't understand them as they are. Change them. Give them the knowledge by which they can come out of ignorance. If we think that we shall just let people be just like they are and don't change and just chant Hare Krishna, then they won't change. We have to give the knowledge by which there is change of heart. Vidyate hridya granti, chidyante sarva samshayaha. Otherwise, if we think that I'll go on with my material way of thinking, material misconceptions, and just chant Hare Krishna, then we become pious. Then we become a vegetarian, and we only take Krishna prasadam except when we sometimes go out to the ice cream parlor. Sometimes. Not always, just sometimes. And we chant Hare Krishna and we're good. But that's all right, you'll be pious. But that is not bhakti. Bhakti means to understand that our only goal of life is Krishna. So, yes, we can bring people in, come, take prasadam, and be nice, smile at them, and all this kind of thing. That may help in bringing people in. Although, better for bringing people into Krishna consciousness is to tell them about Krishna. That we may say, smile and be nice. Salesmen are also doing that. So, personally, I'm very distrustful if someone's very overly nice. I mean, what are they trying to get out of me here? So, but someone who speaks the truth, then, of Krishna consciousness, that will appeal to the soul. So we can, in preaching in the beginning stages, appeal to people's misunderstanding of what it means to be nice. That we may do, but then we have to be really nice to them by giving them the knowledge by which they can become free from illusion. Then we can get Krishna's mercy actually. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, comment, or protest about this? Any protest? Protests are more fun. Let's have some fun. Let us enjoy ourselves now. We shall enjoy by speaking as we have heard Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is pleasure. Pleasure in the service of Krishna. So is there like that any question? Krishna consciousness is very easy, very blissful. But we shouldn't, when we hear that, we shouldn't think that the easiness means I can take it easy. And the blissful means that I should be happy in material life, and that is the real test of Krishna consciousness. Easy means you don't have to stand on your head for 10,000 years. Easy means that we don't have to study millions of shastras. We don't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very easy process. It's easy in the sense that we don't have to do any extraneously difficult activities. But in one sense, it's very difficult for every conditioned soul because we have to give up our material attachments. And the yogis who can stand on their head for 10,000 years, that's difficult. But they find it more difficult to surrender to Krishna. That's why they don't surrender to Krishna. It's easier for them to do that because that keeps them in the illusion that I, Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddhoham, bhagavan sukhi. It cultivates their illusion of being the enjoyer. So it's more difficult for one who is in contaminated consciousness to surrender to Krishna than to stand on the head for 10,000 years. So easy, yes. But it is required also to take the step of surrendering to Krishna. And when we do that, everything becomes very easy. Everything becomes very, Krishna helps. But if we are, otherwise if we are rowing the boat One side we're rowing this way and the other side we're rowing the other way. Then we're not going to go anywhere. Then we're carried away by the stream. So we have to be clear what our goal is. Fix on Krishna. No question? Nothing. Okay. Why don't you say it in the mic? Someone's just sitting here.
I just wanted to ask you about the first, we started with the story of Indra and Virochan approaching Brahma. Is this Virochan Balamaraj's same book? And it is, I want to know how Balamaraj's son is.
Virochan. Who is Virochan? Yes, he is this son of Prahlad and father of Bali, who is known as Virochana. He is named in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then what's the question? How is he a demon? Because he's envious of Krishna. Same reason that we're in the material world. Prahlad was the son of a great demon. Prahlad's son was a demon and Virochana's son was a devotee. According to the arrangement of the laws of nature, generally the son's mentality takes after the mother's. The general tendency is that. The arrangement is there. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteya. We get placed in different bodies under the direction of the super soul, according to our previous karmic activities. So generally, a son is placed in the womb of a mother of similar mentality. Generally so. Virochana could also become Krishna conscious if he did. Taken advantage of the association of his godly father, but he didn't. Prabhupada's children, they had so much intimate association with so many people are hankering for, but they didn't take advantage. We have to know how to take association. We may think that, of course, we should associate with Guru, but we should know what that means to associate also. Once at Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, Prabhupada was there, and he told one devotee, now you go, and you go to another place and take up your preaching service there. And he didn't go, he stayed, he thought, I'll stay with Prabhupada. The next day, he saw him, he said, you didn't go, go. And the next day again, Prabhupada saw him, and he said, just like a bug, sucking the blood. Bug also comes on the body. It's a very heavy comment. And he got Prabhupada's association. But he didn't want to take his association in the form of his instruction. So he didn't understand that Prabhupada's giving an instruction. By following that instruction, he would have had Prabhupada's association. By thinking, I will stay and get his association, he didn't get his association. So all these points have to be understood very carefully. Therefore we have to hear again and again. Bhakti rests on the process of hearing. Always hear. Shravana kirtana karo anukhanna asata pachala chari. This in glorification of the holy name is Shravana kirtan do non-stop, all the time. Don't talk nonsense. Give up nonsense talk. We don't have time. Hear and chant about Krishna. Kahi premananda manusha janama shafala karana bhari. So we got this human form of life. We should make it successful by shravan kirtan. Don't put it off. Don't think I'll do it later. Later I'll become Krishna conscious. No, do it now. Shubhasya Shigram. Don't wait. There's another question? Yeah. Please sir.
told that Krishna is immoral.
Your boss told what?
Krishna is immoral.
Krishna is immoral. Punch him in the face. The boss, not Krishna. Tell him he's immoral. No, you, you rascal, you have a wife, and you are thinking you are the enjoyer of your wife, Mr. Boss. But the wife is also meant to serve Krishna, not meant for your enjoyment. You are immoral. Krishna is the enjoyer of all living beings. If you have one wife, you are immoral. If you think I am the enjoyer of this wife. Tell him, if you dare, that he should be careful because he's going to go to hell. It's not funny. It's not at all funny. It was not said as a joke. It's not at all a joke. By these wrong ideas, people are going to hell. It's a very serious thing. Gokul Chandra Prabhu here has written a book called Who is Supreme? So he's going to publish that soon. Because all these common misconceptions come up. Who is supreme? Is it Krishna or is it Durga or some Baba who makes us sigh, or is it this or that? Or is Krishna the eighth avatar of Vishnu? Or how can Krishna be God if he's dancing with others' wives? So all these things come up again and again. So publish that book and then you can give it to him and he can give it to his boss. We need many, many books and many, many preachers, because people have many, many misconceptions. And in this way, their human life is being spoiled.
Maharaj, you have raised the point of mechanical Krishna consciousness.
Mechanical approach to... There's no mechanical Krishna consciousness, but there is a mechanical approach to what we present. What we misconceive to be Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, you raised this issue.
Yeah.
We can overcome this by bhakti, which is, as you said, by
satsanga, that is important.
Sadhu sangha.
Yeah, by associating with devotees who are not mechanical. You're going to the office,
right.
And your boss says Krishna is immoral. Krishna is immoral, but I'm envious of him. He had so many girlfriends. I only had 3 or 4. Yeah. It's another of those FAQs. What do we do? We're at the office, we have all this asat sangha. Make the best of a bad bargain. You can put on your desk pictures of Krishna. Make the best of a bad bargain. Put your wallpaper some picture of Krishna like this. Actually, Prabhupada wanted that devotees can live in devotional communities and we don't have to associate with all these envious people. We still have to do them. What we're trying to do is we're trying to practice Krishna consciousness on a template of Maya. It doesn't work. Is it where we're trying to run
windmill?
That
is what I want to know from you. When we are making a livelihood,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult, no doubt. Yeah, get satsanga. Get satsanga. Then you, mechanical means that I'm not advocating that we give up all rules and regulations, but we follow the rules and regulations are required, but with spirit. Now, if we study Prabhupada's books regularly, we'll get so much inspiration from them. I have personal experience of this. I spent many years in situations where I had very little personal association of any devotees, actually. So I got so much inspiration from reading Prabhupada's books. If we actually read, we'll find Prabhupada is speaking to us. So get association, read Prabhupada's books daily, and associate with devotees who are very serious to be Krishna conscious. And preach Krishna consciousness. If you preach in your workplace, that will make it much better. You can, maybe, you have to see how to do it. Maybe bring out your beads at lunchtime and chant, and then people may ask, what's that? And give them a book. And give everyone prasadam every day. Just in like a needle. We have to consider how to make our lives Krishna conscious. Another question. There's a written question. Maharaj, talking about our material desires, I understand that the only option we have is to engage them in Krishna consciousness. To give up these desires would be artificial. Is this a right understanding? No. Not a right understanding. We often hear that we have to engage our desires in Krishna consciousness, but actual Krishna consciousness means to make our desires what Krishna wants us to do. Instead of what I want to do, and I'll do that, and I'll add a little bit of Krishna consciousness. That could be called karma yoga, maybe. But it's not bhakti. Bhakti means anyabhilashita shunya. To give up all our personal desires and only desire to act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So that's the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Karma yoga means we more or less do what we want to do and we offer some of the results to Krishna. Bhakti yoga means to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. So there is a difference. We can overcome material desires, certainly. Krishna is more powerful than Maya. Yeah, very good point. I should have made it in the class, actually. Yashoda is binding Krishna 2 fingers short. So, Jiva Goswami, I believe, has commented that these 2 short means that the 2 factors required are the mercy of the Lord and our own endeavor. So both things are required. Without that, we cannot bind Krishna. We won't be bound by Krishna.